We'll go to the next verse, 25. Manapamanayostulyah. Tulyo mitrari pakshayoho. Sarvarambha parityagi. Gunatitas sa uchyate. So, gunatitas sa uchyate. So, Arjuna had asked, what are the qualities of a gunatita? How does he conduct himself in the world? What are the linga? What are the marks? How can I identify? So Krishna is giving us a few more indicators, a few more marks about this man of wisdom. Man, of course, includes woman. So please don't say only man of man. Can women be wise? No, sorry, I didn't mean that. It is a person of wisdom. Let us use that word. So what happens to such a person? Mana apamana yaha tulyaha. Yaha, this individual, tulya is balanced in amana and apamana, honor and dishonor. Remains the same. Tulya mitra ari paksha yoho. He says, whether it is mitra or ari, friend or enemy, tulya. In those both situations, both pakshas, whether he is in the presence of friends or he is in the presence of enemies, remains the same. Then this is an interesting phrase which Krishna uses many places. He also uses it in the 12th chapter. Sarvarambha parityagi. Arambha means beginning. Beginning. Sarvarambha parityagi. Parityagi means totally gives up all beginnings. So you mean to say he never begins anything? Yeah, that's what he's saying. Never begin anything. So he said, okay, from tomorrow I'm not going to begin anything. I was going to start a business. I'm not going to begin because Krishna said, don't start a business. I'm not going to expand. I'm not going to work because if I work, then I'm beginning. So from tomorrow, I'll follow the Gita perfectly. I'll never begin anything. And such a person is called Gunatita. He's called Guna, goes who, one who has gone beyond the Gunas. So let us spend a little time studying this verse. It is kind of similar to the previous verse, but it's like in an, suppose there is a painting, how Krishna is putting more and more details. So here he says, mana apamana yaha tulyaha, yaha, this individual, yaha, whoever it may be, man or woman, young or old, black or white, short or tall, yaha person, mana apamana, honor and dishonor, he does not accept. See, you and I, as we said, somebody honors us, we get very happy. Somebody dishonors us. Why? Because we accept it. But a wise person says, it's okay. Honor and dishonor, I don't accept. I am fine either way. The Buddha story, I think I had talked before. I just very briefly mention it. But Buddha was, he had just started his preaching and he had about 50 or 60 monks who used to travel with him, young men. And they would go from village to village and Buddha would preach and teach. And usually the rich person in the village would, you know, keep, make a place for them to stay or the dharamshala or something. And, you know, feed them and all. And then they would move on. And that's how he instructed all the people. So one village he goes and there he had about 40 or 50 followers with him. And there was this man who somehow didn't like Buddha. And so he started cursing him. The worst galis, worst bad words he could use for Buddha. Buddha was a, you know, enlightened soul. And he called him the, you know, you are a thief and you are a robber and you are useless. And all these people with you are parasites on society. You guys are cheating us and looting us. And these are kind words, but he used even the most foul language, you know, that you can imagine. You know, in Hindi, especially in India, we have a lot of foul words you can use. And he used every one of them, which he could collect and use them on Buddha. And Buddha remained silent. And there were about 40 or 50 young monks. And they, for them, you know, Buddha was like God, you know, my guru, guru Brahma, guru Vishnu, guru Deva Maheshwara. Guru is like God and my God is being insulted by this useless fellow who is ignorant. And they said, Buddha, they told Buddha, I said, Maharaj, Lord, just give us one signal. You just point the finger and we'll make sure we'll beat this guy so much that he'll never ever talk, forget about criticizing. He won't even be able to speak, will break every bone in his body. Buddha remained calm. He said, look, he called me all those bad names, right? He said, yeah. He said, but I didn't take it. If I didn't take it, then they don't affect me. If you took it, and you then you go and beat him up, but I didn't take them. If you don't accept, then, you know, like in India, we used to, somebody, the children, they will tell him, you know, you are this and that, you know, or you are, I don't know, you know, all these insulting phrases friends use. They say, by telling that, do you become that? You know, like there's somebody will say, you are gay, or you are useless, or you are, you know, dumb and all. So the children will say, you are dumb. She said, oh, he called me dumb. They say, we tell our child, by him calling you dumb, do you become dumb? No, you are what you are. So when we teach our children that, then why do we get disturbed when somebody honors us? Well, you say, I don't accept it. You can call me all the names you want, but I do not accept it. Once you don't accept, then the person can use the choicest bad words. They don't affect me. Then he says, Tulya Mitra Ari Pakshayo, in friend and foe. Now that is very difficult, you know, because we have some people we like and some people we hate. And then we classify all people of this community are like that, or from this state are like that, or from this country are like that. This race is all like that. And then we label as a friend and foe. And then what happens is that we walk around with fear, you know. Oh, people I love, that's good if I'm surrounded. But if there's somebody I dislike, then I get very scared. And that's why people carry guns. And that's what happened in Florida, where that guy Zimmerman, you know, he was carrying a gun. And there was this young black child, Jonathan Martin, who was wearing a hoodie and had a 7-Up bottle in his pocket. And he thought there was this guy is here to rob my house and he's carrying a gun. And he shot him. And of course, then, you know, we don't know the whole story. But the point is that when you are carrying guns, I know this is a Second Amendment country. Everybody has guns. But when you carry a gun or when you keep a gun in your house, all it does is generate fear. Because then you say that, okay, now I have to use this gun. The moment I see a threat, even I perceive a threat, even there may not be, but my mind is so stressed out. And in fact, we find most of the time guns are not used to shoot a robber or an intruder. Usually they, you know, it kills somebody near to you, a friend or a relative, or a child accidentally shoots, or you get angry at somebody, a husband or wife, or like the other day somebody shot their in-laws, their whole family. You know why? Because he didn't get along with the wife. If he didn't have a gun, all he might have done is punch them. So the point is that we look at the whole world as friend and foe, enemy and friend, and then we walk through life on eggshells, you know, just like waiting for something to explode. And that is the problem with the world these days. It's not only among people, even among nations. You look in the Middle East, you know, they are ready. Israel is ready. The moment they throw one bomb, I'm going to go destroy the whole village. And then they destroy the whole village, and then they send terrorist bombers, and then they go to some nightclub and explode it. And then again, Israel destroys another two villages. So it's the same thing. They are just carrying guns. And if you look at when the Cold War, when Russia and the US were in the Cold War, and we have enough nuclear weapons to destroy the world 100 times over. But they keep building more and more nuclear weapons, more and more smart weapons. Why? Because Russia has more, so I should develop more. And this constant arms race, so much money, so many intelligent people are being employed in the defense industry just to make weapons to kill. Or even that simple bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, very, 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 very elementary bomb, killed so many million people. Think about what we have right now. If this happens to fall in the hands of wrong people, we'll destroy ourselves. The human race is on the way to destruction. Why? Because we are just acquiring more and more guns, more and more weapons. And we are creating all these imaginary foes, imaginary enemies. Oh, this person I don't like, that person. And because of that, we have so much stress. So how do we overcome that? The wise person says, they're all me. For a wise person, because he says, I am that consciousness, the Lord is in me, and the Lord is in everybody. Krishna, who created me, created everybody. Jesus is in all of them. There is It's not that Jesus is only in Christians, but he's there in Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims, everybody. Krishna is there in all. Shiva, whoever you worship, the Lord is there in everyone. Everybody is the creation of that one. Just as from one mud, all the parts are created, and all parts are nothing but mud and mud alone. So all humans come out of that one divinity. So everybody is divine. Everybody is me. He does not see any difference between low caste and high caste, between nation or religion or community or race or sex. How can we do that? So the answer is, actually we are doing a beautiful text on Thursday evenings, Bhakti Sudha, and Swami Tejomayananda ji says, actually it's a meditation class, but we do different texts, so we are doing that. And that he says, it's just as for my body, I have equal love for my whole body, right? Is it that I love my nose more than my toe? No, I love every part equally. If my toe hurts, I will dress it. If my nose hurts, I will take care of it. If my finger, it's not that I love my eye more. Yeah, the eye, of course, can see, but the toe is equally important. If my toe is infected, gangrenous, I will take care of that. I'm not going to say it's just a little toe, get rid of it. No, I will go to the doctor. So I love every part of my body because I pervade every part of my body. Suppose my finger pokes into my eye accidentally. Will I say, finger, you are so stupid, I'm going to take a stone and break my finger? No. I instantly forgive. I use the same finger to massage the eye. And the eye doesn't say, finger, you know, you have done this one time. Next time you poke me, I will never look at you again. Eye doesn't say that because eye knows it is me. It's just an... But by chance, if my wife's finger pokes in my eye or my neighbor's finger, you are so careless. You know, we always... Why? Because it is somebody else's finger. My own finger, I immediately forgive. So the wise person says, this whole body is me. The whole universe is me. I pervade the entire universe. I am the whole universe is one. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. This whole universe is nothing but that Vasudeva, that one consciousness, the one Krishna pervades. And they are all me. So how can I hate somebody? Even if somebody, just as a finger poked, I don't hate my finger. So if somebody hurts me also, that's why Jesus could say, Father, forgive them. Because he had no hatred for even the person who had caused so much suffering. All these great saints, they had no hatred for anyone. They loved the whole universe. Mirabai, look at Mirabai, look at Tukaram. Look at their life. Actually, there is a very beautiful movie about Tukaram and you should watch it. So powerful and so touching. It has English subtitles. How he deals even with the people who were the most hateful to him. How this person, and the actor has done such a beautiful job. I watched that movie at least 10 years ago. I still remember so many scenes from that. So he says, just as my body, I they are all me. So this person says, this whole universe is me. And so he is the same in friend and foe, loves everybody equally because they are all me. Then he says, sarvarambha parityagi, does not begin anything. Now you say, that Krishna, I don't agree with that. I don't think so. You know, doesn't begin anything. You mean again, he sits like a useless clod of mud? No. When do we begin something? When we have this ego that I started it. I started this, like this Chinmaya mission. Now, say a few of us got together and, you know, planned it. And then, of course, a lot of people helped us. So now some people start thinking, you know what, we began this Chinmaya. That will be absolutely a play of ego. How can you begin anything? Chinmaya mission started in when Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda started teaching in 1950. So if at all he began it. You cannot say you just continued what had been happened. He had set up the format, the bylaws, the rules, the way it should be run. Everything was done for us. All we had to do was collect the funds and find the land and build it. But it had been going. So Swami Chinmayananda, okay, he can say, did I start? No, he also does not have the ego because there is a very beautiful chant we do. Sadashiva Samarambham, Shankaracharya Madhyamam, Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Parampara. He says, Sada Shiva Samarambham. Shiva, the Lord, is the Sada, is always the beginner of everything. Everything came from the Lord. all the knowledge, all the teachings, all the wisdom. Shankaracharya Madhyamam, in our Chinmaya mission, we revere Shankaracharya because he started the, not started, but he popularized the Advaita philosophy, which was there in the Upanishads, he re-established. So we worship. So from Shiva, we say Shankaracharya. Then from Shankaracharya, Asmadacharya, our Acharya. So our Acharya could be Swami Chinmayananda or Tejomayananda or Swami Ishwarananda, Vimal Chaitanya Ji. So whoever you regard as your guru, so he says the Lord is the original guru, and then from him, guru, shishya, parampara, from guru to student, student then becomes a guru, then again teaches, guru, shishya, parampara has come down to me. So whatever knowledge we have, whatever we have achieved, it is because of the effort of our teachers, our gurus, our parents. And we constantly remember them, and ultimately the Lord is the source of everything. So if anybody began anything, it was the Lord, because the whole universe came from him. So anything you begin, maybe you say, I established this factory, you know, I am the one who built this factory. Yeah, but you did not. The knowledge for building the factory, did you come up with? No, you learned it from your teachers. And you went to other factories that had been built similar, and you got ideas from them. Maybe you had worked in another factory and you got the idea. And then you found an architect and a builder, and then people invested in it. So many investors you had. And then the workers who built it, and then the workers who work in it. So there are thousands of people who are involved even in one simple little factory. So to think that I began anything or I did it, that is just a play of ego. Everything is, he did it, and they say, become an instrument. He has placed me in this opportunity, he has given me this chance, and whatever I am doing, the Lord is the doer. In fact, in the 11th chapter, Sri Krishna says, Maye nihita purvam eva nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. He says, of course, in there, Arjuna had to fight the battle. So he says, these people that you are saying that you will be killing or you will be fighting, they have already been killed by me. He shows them. He said the time has already come. They have done enough evil deeds. It is time for them to leave the world. If you don't do it, I'll find somebody else. Krishna says, he said, just be an instrument, O left-handed warrior. Arjuna was left-handed, he called him, because he could shoot equally good with the left and with the right hand. He was a very proficient. And so here he was fighting this battle. But whatever we do in the world, whenever you achieve anything, just be an instrument. They say, Lord, you are speaking through me. You know, if I am speaking, I have to think that the Lord is speaking, not I am. Whenever you are, whatever work you do, just be an instrument and say, Lord, work through me. And then what will happen? Your work will become pure. It will become very divine. And it will be an inspired work, and your work will be more proficient. It will be, even whether you cook a beautiful dish and somebody says, oh, this is so beautiful. You're such a good cook. Thank the Lord. And thank my mother, because she taught me how to cook. And oh Lord, it is you that gave me the ability. So immediately when you transfer praise to the Lord, then it reduces your ego. Then you don't become egoistic. Sarva Arambha Parityagi. He says, be an instrument like a flute. Like Krishna, you know, plays the flute, and he plays a beautiful. Now suppose a flutist is playing the flute. And suppose the flute decides, I'm not going to listen to the flautist they call. I'm going to play what I want to play. And the flute starts playing its own tune. What is that flutist going to do? He's going to throw it. He said, I don't want this flute that's playing its own. The flute has to become an instrument. That's why the flute has, you know, eight holes. And we also have, you know, that's why we say become an instrument of the Lord. So the five organs of action, the mind, intellect, and ego. There are eight holes we also have. Five organs of action, mind, intellect, and ego. Let all eight of them become instruments of the Lord. And let the Lord play his beautiful music through me. Let the Lord play his flute. Then whatever I do in the world will be divine. But if you put I and my in it, that's when the problems arise. Just say he is playing through me or she is playing through me. Then that person becomes an instrument, becomes the flute, and goes beyond vasanas. Gunatitasa uchyate. Gunatit. Guna is the vasanas. Gunas are the desires. And as long as I am caught in my vasanas, in my desires, in my tendencies, I will do things selfishly for I, me, and my. Then my desires will be selfish. My thoughts, my desires, my actions, everything will be selfish. But if you go beyond the gunas and say, oh Lord, you are in me and let me be an instrument and let me not just indulge in my likes and dislikes, in my, you know, desires. Let me just serve you. And whatever action I'm doing, like we said, you can continue to do whatever. Even if you're sweeping the floor in the house, just say, Lord, you reside in this house and I'm cleaning your temple. Then even that act of sweeping becomes a prayer, becomes a worship. Gunatitasa uchyate, such a person goes beyond vasanas, beyond his selfish desires, and becomes one with the Lord. I thought I would end with a Jad Bharat story. It's one of the most marvelous stories. Some of you have probably heard it, but it is worth listening. How a person living on this world can go beyond. It's such a marvelous story, and how it can, even the wisest person can get deluded, and how it can go beyond. So Jad Bharat, it is said, was a great rishi in his previous birth. He was a great rishi, was a great sage, and he used to sit in the banks of the river and meditate. Very, very evolved. He was very close to realizing the truth. Very evolved, very great sage. It so happened that one day he was sitting in deep meditation and this deer came running, and he heard a lion roar, and the deer came running fast and she was scared. And the deer was pregnant. She was just about to deliver. And so she got so afraid of the lion that she jumped into the river. And the river was a very fast river. And just before jumping, she gave birth to the baby deer. She gave birth to the calf. And she jumped into the river and the river swept her away. And so the mother deer was killed. And that baby deer survived because he fell on the banks. Now this sage wakes up from his meditation because he hears the lion's roar and he sees this deer being washed away and he feels so sorry. And then this poor little baby deer lying there, you know, no one to take care, no mother, no, who is going to, she said, no, I have to take care. And this baby has come for me. So he gets up and finds some milk from somewhere and gives it to the baby deer, gets some leaves and feeds him and all, and starts taking care. Up to there, it's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens, unfortunately, he gets attached. He had never been attached to anything, but he gets so attached. He says, this dear, dear, my dear, dear. And he gets so bound with this, he gets so constantly, even in his meditation, he's thinking about the deer. He was an old monk. He was very old. And he says, you know, after I die, who will take care of this poor deer? You know, the deer, you know, they live in the forest. They take care of themselves. But he had this feeling of my deer. You know, it is my deer and I have to take care. And I and my came in there. And in that, he passed away. Now, it is said that whatever your last thought is, you become that. So if your last thought is of God, you will reach God. If your last thought is of money, then you will be born again. If your last thought is of some cat or dog, you'll be born again as a cat or dog. So don't get too attached to your cat or dog. Because if that's all, because people do that all the time. They just think about my cat, and they carry her everywhere. My dog spends so much time. You know, you have extra time. Think, use that in studying the Gita or meditating. But they have eight cats, then they will go bring a ninth one. And for what? People do that. I'm telling you. And dogs, they spend so much. Again, I'm not opposed to, if somebody likes pets, is okay. But if you're going to waste your time so much in taking care of them, you say, oh, they are also humans, they are also animals, I am helping them and serving the world and all. Okay, that is good. But if you have extra time, maybe go and feed some humans or do some, you know, bigger service. But anyway, that's beside the point. So not to deviate from the topic. So this guy got attached to the deer. And so the last thought he had was of the deer. And he died with that thought. So guess what? Next life, he was born as a deer, you know, because that was his last thought. And he devolved. But interestingly, he was such an evolved sage. He was so that he remembered even in the deer life that I was a great rishi and I made the mistake of getting attached to the deer. Taking care of deer is one thing, but getting bound and attached is another. So he whatever 8, 9, 10 years as a deer, he lived his life and he passed away. He left his deer body. But because he was such an evolved sage, he was then given another human birth. Because that little mistake he made, he had to pay the price for 8, 10 years in deer body. And then he becomes a human and he has to now continue his journey. But interestingly, he was named Bharat. That was his name given to him in this new birth. But it was so interesting that this boy clearly remembered that I was a deer in the past life and I was a rishi in the life before that. And why did I become a deer? From the rishi, I could have by now been a realized master. I fell down because I get attached to the deer. So he says, in this life, I'm not going to be attached to anybody. And so he refused to talk. They would try to teach him. He wouldn't talk. He would just grunt. And if they fed him, he would eat. If they didn't feed him, he would just lie down. And he just wandered and he was not interested in studying. But he was a Brahma Jnani. He already had this knowledge from the previous birth. He was a very evolved soul. But he said, if they sent him to school, he would study. If they didn't send him, and then they started calling him Jada Bharat. Jada means one who is not intelligent, like who's not evolved. You know, like what we say, mentally challenged, like Down syndrome. They thought maybe he has Down syndrome or some mental. So they would just, he had a brother and parents, and they just treated him not very good. But they took care of him, and you know, he grew up slowly into a young man. But never, always, he knew the truth. He was always in his Brahma. He was always established in the truth. But outwardly, he didn't want to show anybody that he's a great scholar. He knew everything. He knew the Upanishads. He had studied everything. His knowledge was profound. He was always in that Brahma feeling of that Brahman. I am that consciousness. He stayed in that, what they call swastha dhira. He was established in the truth, but he didn't want to teach anybody. He didn't want to preach. He didn't want to talk. He didn't want to interact. He says, in this life, I'm not going to get attached to anybody. So he becomes a young man. And one day he was walking in the fields. And it so happened that the king was going and he had another four people to carry his palanquins. You know, sometimes they travel in a horse wagon, but suppose there are no roads, then they catch four men. They have these four men and they who are healthy and strong, and they will carry the king over the river or through the fields, you know, where the carts cannot go. In those days, they didn't have many roads. So the king was going with four of his men and he was supposed to reach the next village by nightfall. And then in the next morning, he had some important business. And it so happened that one of the men got sick. He got vomiting and diarrhea and he was so sick he couldn't even walk. Now, how is he to carry the king? You know, and the king has to reach. It's very important. It's nightfall is coming. Some robbers might rob him, you know, along the way because he had so much money. So this Bharat, Jad Bharat is walking around. So they see this young man. So they call him, hey, come here. So he come. What are you doing? Nothing. You know, just he didn't answer. Come on, carry the palanquin. So this guy was like that. Whatever anybody told him, he did. He never resisted. You know, his whole life was without resisting. Carry, okay. He started carrying the palanquin. So the king, they have told me to carry, I'll carry. So they're taking him and he's going. But interestingly, he found the whole universe like his body. He said, everything is me. So he loved all creatures because he was a realized master. So whenever there would be an ant along the way, he would jump. Because I shouldn't step on the ant. You know, there's this. So he would jump or he would move on one side, move on the other side to avoid stepping on ants or some, you know, little spiders or anything, lizard, any animal creature came, he would move, he would jump. So the king got very irritated because three guys are carrying properly and this fourth guy is jumping and moving. He said, what? You know, he sticks his head out and curses him. He said, what slave? What kind of person? You can't even carry a palanquin? And he curses him out like anything. So after this, first time in his life, Jad Bharat spoke. First time ever in his life, he said, O king, remember, there is no slave, there is no king. All of us are that one consciousness. You are that consciousness. I am that consciousness. You have done some karmas because that's why you are up there. And because of my karmas, I am carrying you. But remember that this life is temporary. And we all have to bear the cross of our karmas. And none of us is inferior and superior. There is one consciousness that pervades you, me, and that ant. So never ever forget that. So beautiful advice he gives for 5 or 10 minutes. And the king is shocked because he thought that this guy is some duffer, you know, some useless person. And he is now speaking such words of wisdom. He immediately feels so bad that this is a saint. And I forced him to carry my palanquin. So he comes down from there bows down, touches his feet, and apologizes and says, "Sir, your wisdom is profound. I want you to become my guru." And so then Jad Bharat, you know, becomes his guru, and then whatever life he has. So the point is that this wise person could go through life established in the truth, and no matter what situations happen, he was able to withstand it. And he saw even the in the ant, he could see that Brahman, that consciousness. So that's what they are saying. Such a person, gunatit, such a person is called gunatit, goes beyond gunas. And so that's the beauty of this, you know, that in honor and dishonor, in friend and foe, and without ego, such a person functions. So these are very beautiful verses. Please think about them. Apply them in your life. If you want, you can take a picture of this. Some of the people do that with the phone. That way it will remind you. Or you can go to firstpower.info and listen to them or read the commentary. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukhamag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Harihi Om. Thank you very much.